To visit the tidal flats of the Wadden Sea in Denmark, you take a drive along the seabed itself. You park up next to a large, lush lagoon, and you clamber over the sand dunes, avoiding the grazing sheep. You are then confronted with what looks like, at first glance, a flat, grey, dead landscape, almost lunar-like if you ignore the water. But according to Thomas Jensen, a nature guide from the Wadden Sea Centre, on second glance, you'll see that it's teeming with life.
The mud and the sand looks very dead, but if you go deeper into the mud, you will find a lot of animals. And these are animals living on microscopic algae. We know from the seas that it's mostly these diatoms, these microscopic algae, they form the basis for the food webs in northern seas. It's also so here in the Wadden Sea, but in the Wadden Sea, the algae are on the bottom, lying in the upper few millimeters of the sand. And these algae are eaten by worms, snails, all the small animals living in the bottom. So lots of algae forming lots of small animals, forming a lot of food for birds, for fish and for seals, sea mammals.
As you walk along across the tidal flats, you can actually sort of areas of sort of brown stuff. What exactly is that?
That's microscopic algae. That's the basis for the food web in the Wadden Sea. These are the primary production produced due to the sun and due to the nutrients released from the bottom and coming in with the tide.
And then what about the black stuff that looks a bit like oil?
The black spot is areas where the oxygen is very low. Sometimes the sediment is very, very fine, and oxygen from the air will have difficulties diffusing into the bottom. And at the same time, the little oxygen there will be used by microorganisms decomposing organic matter. So we'll have this black substances caused by iron and manganese.
Now, as you say, as you walk along, you can't see an awful lot, but in fact, if you scooped up some of the sand, you came up with lots of cockles and things like that. How do they get into the sand?
Well, they can bury themselves into the sand, but they start as small larvae, actually. When they get their shell, they go into the sand, and then they dig further and deeper down when they grow. They use their foot. They have one foot. And they push this food out, push it into the sand, and then when it's deep down into the sand, they get a good hold, and then they can take the shells with them downwards.
And what sort of systems have some of these lower-level animals created in order to protect themselves from the predators?
Some of them go deep down and just elongate their tubes to the surface in order to get water with algae to eat. Some of them are cementing themselves to other surfaces, making it hard for especially the birds to get them off. But many of them will hide. That's their basic strategy, hiding so that they will not be eaten and hiding so that they will not be washed away when the storm comes.
You also, as you're walking along, see lots of places where there's like a deep hole, quite a small one, and then a big sort of worm cast next to it. Are the two things related?
Yeah, that's the house of the lockworm. They have their kitchen in one side and the toilet in the other because they are eating with their mouth, causing the sand to fall down in small funnels. And then they utilize the algae in the sand and the organic matter. And then when finished, they go up with their tail and then they produce these spaghetti-like worms lying on the surface. And if you look carefully, you can actually see that the color is different. The toilet end is more gray and from where they eat, it's more brown, caused by the small algae.
If you're coming along somewhere like this for the first time, so when you say when you look, it looks quite dead, it's very flat, it's quite an amazing landscape, you say not a very living landscape. How do you think you can get yourself into the right mode to see the things that are really there?
You have to focus on small things. You have to go out on the flat, put your feet into it, put your fingers into it, or maybe using a small net. And then you will experience that every square meter in this huge nature area is holding between 50,000 and 100,000 small animals per square meter.
And as you walk along, it seems that the sand doesn't get very disturbed. For example, footprints from 2 or 3 days ago are still there, and yet it's being flooded in the meantime. How does that happen?
Sometimes the sediment is very stable and you can have footprints or even prints from vehicles operating there for the whole winter. But if strong storms will come, then everything will get washed away. So it's a fresh start then.
And how much does the water temperature vary as well in this area?
Oh, between 4 and 6 degrees in the winter in the outer part of the Wadden Sea and up to, well, I have measured up to 34 degrees in the inner parts in summer. So it can get quite warm because it's so shallow. But it's also important to know that it can get very cold. If it's a strong winter, then we actually have ice formation very quickly in here. So the animals living here are really facing dramatic changes through the year.
That's Thomas Jensen from the Wadden Sea Centre in West Jutland, Denmark.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth, and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.